Okay, Dr. Fred Watson, thanks for coming on Science Spotlight. It's the first official interview for the segment. So I wanted to talk to you about the KOI-5 system. So how rare are these types of triple star systems?
If you mean a triple star system, they're not that rare. But what might be rarer is a triple star system with a planet. And there's at least one more candidate for a triple star system, which probably has a planet. The planet itself, in that particular case, hasn't been seen, but it's been inferred. Its presence is inferred actually by a gap in the dust ring around the triple star. But in this particular one, KOI-5, KOI, Kepler Object of Interest, is probably the first triple star system with a planet that is confirmed, if I can put it that way.
Right. And so, mechanically speaking, how does this system fit together?
It's the sort of thing that you need to wave your hands around a lot. So the primary star in this system, perhaps called the primary because it's the most massive, KOI-5A, is not quite at the center because the mass of the secondary, KOI-5B, isn't that much different from the primary. And so they are in orbit around their common center of gravity. And then in orbit, or also in orbit around that common center of gravity, is KOI-5C, which is a red dwarf star, which is further out. But the once you've got your head around all that, what you then have to do is add the planet, which itself is in orbit around KOI-5A, the primary star, and not in orbit around the combination. It is much closer in than the distances separating the component stars.
And so you mentioned that triple star systems with an exoplanet are quite rare, and this is obviously very difficult to find. So Kepler first identified this in 2009, but it only was confirmed in the beginning of this year. So what took so long? What was the process that went through it?
Yeah, there's a number of factors contribute to this. One of them is that back in 2009, NASA's Kepler mission, the space mission that was designed to find exoplanets by the fact that they would transit across their parent stars and cause the parent star to dim slightly in brightness, that mission was still early in its not its infancy, but its mature stage, if I can put it that way, back in 2009 when it started operating. And KOI-5 was picked up relatively early in that. In fact, I think I'm right in saying it was only the second planet candidate to be found by the Kepler mission. But Kepler was so successful that the investigators were completely swamped by data coming in, demonstrating that the spacecraft was very good at picking up the transits of planets across the face of their parent stars. And before they knew where they were, they had more than 1,000 candidates. And in fact, Kepler's total now is well in excess of 3,000, I think. So it was basically just one that was. It was got lost in the noise, if I can put it that way. But in fact, then Kepler's successor, which is called TESS, Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellite, I think is the name of the spacecraft. TESS also picked up this same star, and that's when people started getting really interested in it. But because it's a triple system, you have to be really careful that you're not seeing peculiar brightness changes because of the interaction of the stars with each other. And so what was needed then were follow-up observations using a much larger telescope than either TESS or Kepler. In fact, it was the WM Keck telescopes on Mauna Kea, the mountaintop in Hawaii, that was used in order to follow this planet around its orbit using the Doppler wobble technique, which, as you well know, Cameron, is how you watch a star being moved by its balancing act that it does with an orbiting planet. Once again, a star and a planet orbit around their common center of gravity, which is often actually inside the star. But that causes the star itself to wobble slightly around the common center of gravity, and that can be picked up by the Doppler effect, hence the name, the Doppler wobble. And that was what really allowed these astronomers to look at the details of the KOI-5 system.
And do they know what type of planet it is? Is it rocky, or is it a gaseous planet?
Almost certainly a gas giant. It's probably too big to be a rocky planet. If my memory serves me correct, its mass is something like half the size of Saturn, which means that it's while it's not ranking among the biggest of the gas giants, it's still gas giant sized. On a par, I guess you might say, with Neptune or Uranus, rather bigger, in fact. So unlikely to be a rocky planet. It may have a rocky core. We really don't know what's at the center of gas giant planets. Some people have suggested that Jupiter might have a solid hydrogen core at its center. Work that one out. but it's thought that many of them probably do have a rocky core deep down in their insides. Anyway, the KOI 5AB, which is the technical name of this planet, is almost certainly a gas giant.
And so obviously we can't stand on the surface of a gas giant, but if we were to be, say we could stand on the surface of the gas giant and we'd look up, so what would a day look like on KOI 5AB? Would there be multiple sunsets?
Yes, there would indeed. It's really quite a complex system. Star and A and B orbit each other every 30 years, so there's quite a slow motion between them. But star C, which is the third one, orbits A and B every 400 years, so that's moving even more slowly. Now, we don't know anything about the rotation of this planet, but you can probably guess, you would think it will be likely that because it's relatively close to its parent star, which is KOI-5A, if I remember rightly, it orbits in something like 5 days. It's actually quite a short orbital period. So it's probably rotationally locked, which means that its day would be the same as its year. But every KOI-5AB morning, you'd see at least one star rising. But because of the geometry of this system, there's a good chance that there will be a star in the sky the whole time. So you might not have a sunrise ever. You just have perpetual daylight, the fact that you've got these three stars. It's a complex system and takes a little while for you to get your head around it. And just one comment, though, about the, given that it's a gas giant, we'd never be able to stand on its surface. That's certainly true. But there's a good chance that some of these gas giants that are being discovered now in the exoplanet world, that they have their own moons. And those moons might be solid objects which perhaps could harbour life, we don't know, but they may well have solid surfaces. So you could conceivably stand on the moon of KOI-5AB and watch your multiple sunrises.
It would really mess with your circadian rhythm, I think, all those different sunrises.
That's right. Indeed, that's right. Imagine what it would be like on a planet with no darkness at all. Very, very interesting idea.
I think the people living above the Arctic Circle have some idea what that's like.
That's right. They do indeed.
So that's really fascinating, Fred. So this is a really interesting aspect of astronomy. And so if people want to find out more about this kind of stuff, where can they go and look?
Certainly for, for our exoplanets, there are plenty of sources on the web, but if you want a fairly broad sweeping and basic account of what's going on here, written with a very good sense of humor, if I can put it that way, there is a new book out called Space Warp. Subtitle is Colliding Comets and Other Cosmic Catastrophes. This book is written by an author with remarkably the same name as me. So that's come out. I wrote it for the 10 plus age group, and by 10 plus I mean 10 to 110, because I think adults will enjoy it as well. It's also full of cartoon illustrations, which I've done too, just to add a little bit of detail that you wouldn't otherwise have in a book of this kind. It's nice to be able to get scientific ideas over by means of cartoons, and that's what I've tried to do.
All right. Dr. Fred Watson, thank you again for coming on to a CR. It's always a pleasure to have you and to chat with you about this, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
I look forward to it. Thanks very much, Kevin.
Thank you, Fred.